From the Arizona Daily Star and Tucson.com, this is the Wildcast.
Hi, everybody. Ryan Finley here. The following podcast deals with our ongoing series, Tidal Wave. To read every story in the series, visit Tucson.com. If you're interested in following further Title IX issues, follow the Star's Caitlin Schmidt on Twitter. She is at Caitlin C. Schmidt. You can email her at cschmidt@tucson.com. On with the show. Welcome to the Tidal Wave podcast. I'm Arizona Daily Star sports editor Ryan Finley, joined by reporter Caitlin Schmidt. Caitlin, in this series of podcasts, we've talked about what Title IX is, why we care, what other schools have done to improve. Now, to me, the most important one for at least our listeners and our readers, what is the U of A doing to improve its Title IX policy? What is the U of A doing to maybe avoid more lawsuits like what they've been facing? And who is Ron Wilson? I guess let's start with that.
So Ron Wilson is the U of A's new Title IX director. He's not as new anymore. He was brought in at the end of October, so he's been here for a few months.
Right.
Ron was brought in as a result of an external review of the U of A's Title IX policies and program, spring of 2018. They brought in a lawyer from San Francisco who spent several months looking at everything and found that while the U of A was in compliance with all federal laws, there were some room for improvements, and one of them was a dedicated full-time Title IX director, which is Ron Wilson, who came to us from Edinburgh University, small university.
Pennsylvania?
Yes. Yes, much smaller university, but he headed up Title IX there as well as the Office of Civil Rights. He actually wrote their Title IX policy and basically did everything for them. So
right, and he has a Tucson connection because he was a former South Tucson judge, correct?
Yes, he was the youngest judge appointed to the bench in South Tucson. I believe he was 33 years old. So yes, he has some Tucson ties. He's definitely happy to be back here. And he is also very cognizant that there were some serious issues involving Title IX in the past, and acknowledging those and understanding those is a part of our present and has to be a part of the future.
Sure. Obviously, navigating a federal law within the framework of a state institution, neither are institutions that move particularly quickly. Okay. What has Ron Wilson done to try to move things along, and what has he done to try to improve?
So Ron Wilson said, he told me, he just submitted the first draft of a new Title IX policy that he's written for the U of A. It addresses all of the procedures and processes. So he's completely rewritten that. That'll have to, of course, be approved before it's implemented. But he also has some aspirations as far as increasing staffing. He wants to double or triple the amount of sexual assault advocates that the school has. And that's actually a new center. These are new positions, but he already wants to expand upon that. We are getting ready to open up a medical forensic exam room at Banner UMC. In the past, when sexual assault victims have had to get sexual assault kits.
Right, rape kits.
Rape kits. They've had to go across town to Tucson Medical Center, which if you think about that you can see Banner from the U of A, that's pretty counterintuitive. So they won't have to do that anymore. We're moving forward there. Ron is also working with the Consortium for Gender-Based Violence to create a class for credit for students that would address bystander intervention, toxic masculinity, education and prevention awareness.
Sure.
So that, you know, students in all sorts of discipline, whether or not they're interested in law or whatnot, they can learn about this and actually get credit.
Right, right. It can be like a freshman colloquium or something like that.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. And it's, you know, not a mandatory course, but they can get something out of it. So right. Little incentive to be there. He's also expanding the Step Up Bystander Intervention Program across campus. It was previously kind of limited to specific areas.
Well, I mean, primarily athletics. I mean,
and the Greek system. Yeah.
But I mean, the Step Up program was the byproduct of, I believe, CATS Academics or Life Skills.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So now it is a campus-wide intervention, which we see at a lot of schools. So that makes sense. And he's also hired Thea Cola into the Title IX office. She previously worked at the U of A in a different capacity, but she will be creating education programs for students and faculty, and that will be used at all of the U of A campuses in Tucson and Phoenix, all of the satellite campuses. So He also wants to hire more investigators, recognizing that the ratio of students to investigators is not adequate.
Do we know how many they have right now?
I think we're at three. Three? But it's not enough. I need to double check that with him, but it's not enough.
Okay, but this is a campus with how many thousand people on it?
40 to 45.
Okay.
So we're looking into it. His ultimate goal, he had said, was to have Title IX investigations from start to finish be resolved within 90 days, which he understands is ambitious, but possible if you're willing to invest the resources. So what he'd like to do.
Stop right there.
Yes.
90 days to me is important because when we were talking about this off air, that's huge, I think, for all parties involved. Talk about why these investigations need to be done expeditiously.
So the ultimate goal with Title IX is to make sure that these students don't leave school, that they have access and they finish their education. So when you're dragging an investigation out 6 months, 9 months, sometimes 2 years, we've seen in the past, it obviously becomes much more likely that, that the victim in that case will leave the U of A.
Right.
Instead of having to endure semester after semester. So getting it over and done with, you know, oftentimes it sounds like in the same semester really betters the chances of that student getting some resolution and sticking around.
Right. This is the equivalent of sort of the right to a speedy trial.
Yes.
Correct. Is if you're the accused, you have the right to be either or to have your day in quote unquote court.
Right.
And if you're the victim, you have the right to face your accuser.
Right.
As quickly as humanly possible.
Right. And, right. you know, 90 days is, it's stressful for both parties involved, of course. If right. you're accused of sexual misconduct, it's gotta be excruciating as well. So a 90 day window is much more equitable for everyone involved. Since, you know, these lives don't stop when these investigations are going on. These students are still going to classes every day, doing extracurriculars. Mm-hmm. Let's try to limit the amount of time they have to spend with this.
Right. The things that you learned when you visited Baylor and when you talked to Oregon and to Utah and just what you've gathered nationwide here, it sounds as if there's a little bit of a playbook towards how to strengthen your Title IX, not only policy, but enforcement. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe this is just opinion. It seems to me like the U of A is coming along maybe a little bit slower than other schools, but that some of the things Ron Wilson wants to implement are things that are working at other places.
Yes, definitely. When we looked at Title IX policies from Baylor and Utah and Oregon, they all had a timeline for the investigation written into the policy. And so it sounds like that's something we'll be getting. But yeah, Ron has implemented some changes we've seen elsewhere. We have a new office of diversity, Title IX.
Right. At the U of A.
At the U of A. That kind of streamlines the misconduct reporting process for employees and students. We've seen that done at schools elsewhere. Right. So yeah, I mean, you know, if they're interested, the U of A definitely has a playbook to follow from several schools.
Sure. Sure. To me, I mean, this is such an important hire, Ron Wilson.
Yes.
And it sounds as if he comes in with a good resume. He's saying the right things. What are the next steps for him and for his department as they try to improve?
You know, it's the bureaucracy of this.
Right.
You know, he can have all of the ideas that he wants. It's just kind of taking the time, finding the resources. He's been very clear that President Robbins is on board.
Right.
But, you know, there are steps to go through. If they want to get this new policy implemented, it's going to have to go through provosts and that sort of thing.
And they did not have that issue at Baylor, which is a private university, and you can't has not only the money but kind of the
right.
Yes, it can changes can be made faster probably at a private institution.
Right, okay. And Baylor of course has their own Board of Regents,
correct.
But it's not like the Arizona Board of Regents. They, like you said, private funding,
okay.
So things could move a little faster over there.
Okay.
But
I'm sorry, I interrupted. Keep going.
Ron is, I mean, he's certainly passionate about this space, and you know, there's a lot of speculation right now about what's going to happen with Title IX. Last fall, Betsy DeVos, our Secretary of Education, repealed the Dear Colleague letter, rescinded it, and then issued a 149-page document detailing some proposed changes to Title IX, which have sent, schools, victims, advocates, a lot of people into kind of a tailspin and a panic. And, you know, initially when I sat down with Ron, it was to talk about his thoughts on the proposed changes, and he, you know, he was very clear that he doesn't think it will happen and they won't be implemented at least in a timely manner, but there is serious work to be done at Arizona regardless of what happens at the federal level.
Right. One of the proposed changes, and tell me if I'm wrong here, has to do with basically if you're off campus, it doesn't there's not much you can do, right?
It's an off-campus incident. Right. Yes, it does not. The school will not have to investigate it anymore, which is quite unfortunate, because even if the incident happened at an apartment off campus, these students will most likely run into each other on campus.
Right. Let's go hypothetical on that real quick. So let's say there's a party on campus or off campus house party. Something occurs. The police are not called, right? But 3 days later, the victim walks into the Title IX office at the U of A and goes, "This happened to me at a party over the weekend off campus." What's then the response if this were to pass? Is the response like, oh, well? I mean, if these people are both students and could see each other on campus, I mean, doesn't the university have an obligation to investigate?
They won't under these guidelines. Right. They won't. And it's kind of unclear under these guidelines if they even have an obligation to provide support services to the victim.
Okay.
Another big change is right now with Title IX, you can access support services at a university without filing a formal complaint. You can make, you know, an off the record complaint. I don't want to adjudicate this. I don't want an investigation, but I need help.
Right.
If the guidelines go through as they are, you will not have access to those services unless you go through with the investigation process, which I've learned the overwhelming majority of victims do not want to do. They right. just want help. They want the behavior to stop. They want to get through school.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to be a victim in a criminal process.
Right.
So.
Right. But they also don't want to be in a scenario where they're seeing.
Yes.
The accused.
In their hall. Yeah.
In their class.
Yep. Yes. Right. And we've read police reports that, with survivors who have talked about hiding behind pillars or poles on campus when they've seen their assailants. So it's real. It happens.
Well, and to me, that's kind of the horrifying part of this is most of these men and women, let's say, meet each other because they have something in common, right? In one case that we've written about, both of them worked in the football office. Or in another case that we've written about, you know, one was a student athlete and the man was her coach. In some cases, they, you know, could be in the Greek system together or have a class together. To me, putting yourself in a situation where you couldn't move somebody's classes or benefit them and they would then have to see the person who they're accusing every day seems like a recipe for dropping out of school.
Right.
Again, just my opinion. Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, there are a number of changes which people are kind of in an uproar about, rightfully so. But, you know, Ron has worked in the judicial side, so he knows how slow moving it is. And even if this should somehow go through, it'll be years before it's implemented.
Right.
And, you know, one of the things he'd said to me was, if we choose not to go with their guidelines, what are they going to do? Sue us. Right. So, which is probably really unlikely. I don't see the federal government suing schools because they want to use a higher standard of proof or because they want to take care of students when things happen to them off campus.
Right.
So, but he was real clear on, we have work here to do here regardless. We had a broken system. We have made some improvements, but there are still plenty of improvements to be made regardless of what decision comes out of DC.
Well, right. Because the federal law, I mean, it's a baseline. It's not, here's the only thing you can do, but here's the least you can do,
right?
And so if schools like the U of A or Baylor or whatever opt to do more than what the government requires, that's good, right? I mean, that's...
Right. I mean, the federal government certainly won't get could do,
right,
but they won't get
crossways with the federal government because they're doing more.
Right. And I mean, I don't think that's a headline that anybody would be unhappy to be. You know, University of Arizona sued by federal government for strengthening Title IX. That's a good side of the news to be on.
Right. For doing too much.
Too much. Yeah.
Caitlin, we've talked in throughout the course of this podcast, and you know, certainly you and I have talked about this for going on 6 months now. What has this taught you? What has reporting this entire project taught you about Title IX? Because to me, it's sneaky complicated. You know, it's three. We talked about it in our first episode of this podcast. You know, typed out on a sheet of paper, it's a little over three lines. But the way people choose to interpret and enforce it, it varies.
Yeah, I mean, it is an extremely complicated issue. There's no right way to handle it. You know, we've talked to all of these different schools. Some of them are doing the same things. They branched off in their own in some ways. I mean, I think the bottom line is there's no one right way to do this, but there are a lot of wrong ways, and we see a lot of schools doing the wrong thing. And, you know, it should be an easy issue, right? Sexual misconduct, that's wrong. That's not okay. But it's just obviously not that simple when you have students who have their own free will involved. There's the question of how much responsibility the university system should have. There's the question of, should the Title IX investigative process look like the criminal justice system? Right. And most people think that it should not. But, I mean, as much as we want to see assailants held responsible, the most important thing about Title IX is really making sure that the victims in these cases have access to support and can finish school. And
at so many places like the U of A, it's student-led.
Yes.
Right. And so, I mean, I think what I've learned, at least in reading your stories, is what all these schools are trying to do is to make sure that students are aware of the services that are available, that there are services made available, and then that the students are told about it, because I'm not sure the average student knows. And that way, when they make those decisions, they have options, right?
Yes.
And it's, I mean, at Baylor, I think, was it somebody at Baylor who had said, look, we're not saying everybody should do what we're doing. We've done something that worked for us. And what do you think what can Ron Wilson do to make something culturally fit at Arizona, do you think?
I mean, I think he's on the right path. You can see that he's just so passionate about this topic. He's got a background in civil rights. And he's very sincere in, you know, wanting us to be a national model. He had said, if you look back at major social changes throughout history, suffrage movement, civil rights, it has always come from citizens, not the government. Right. So what Ron wants to do...
Bureaucracy is not behind all the major changes.
Amazing, right?
Right.
But, you know, what Ron wants to do is get it right at the U of A and get it so right that the federal government is looking at us to see how to do this.
Right. Very interesting. Caitlin Schmidt, thank you so much. Your work has run all week, not only in the Arizona Daily Star, but on Tucson.com. This has been, I think, a really interesting, sort of complex series we've been talking about with Title IX. Any final words?
I don't think so. I mean, this definitely isn't the end of it. We're going to see more. We have lawsuits that still need to play out. One of the things that I learned from every school I talk to is that when your Title IX program is working, you see an increase in reporting. So we might be hearing about more. But I'm at least confident that things are changing, and for the better at the U of A. So we're on the right track.
Wonderful. That'll do it for this episode of the Tidal Wave Podcast. For Caitlin Schmidt, I'm Ryan Finley. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, Wildcaster fans. Come check out The Point Being, the Arizona Daily Star's opinion page podcast. We talk about current events, what's going on in the world, the letters page, and more. So check us out at thepointbeingpodcast.com.